back because the second half of the program was completely different from the first. Thankfully, he had seen that and had been able to add vitality to the first half because the Mozart in the second was lively, fun, and just wonderful. The musicians let him take them where he wanted to go, and they seemed to have a great time. Between movements, they smiled, and anticipation for what was to come filled the stage and drifted out into the audience. Marshall knew that kind of positive vibe always got carried along with the notes, and it lasted until the final piece ended and the music faded away. The audience applauded, and Marshall took his bow and then stepped aside, motioning to the concertmaster and then the musicians. He left the stage and then returned for one final bow before leaving once again. As soon as the stage door closed behind him, the last of his energy left him. Fatigue, lack of sleep, strange beds, all of it caught up with him, and his knees buckled. He managed to catch himself, but not before one of the stagehands saw him and rushed over to offer assistance. He helped Marshall to a chair and got him some water.
"I'm okay,"
Marshall said as musicians and other people began gathering around.
"Please, I'm fine. I just misstepped."
He drank from the bottle and slowly stood up. He met the gaze of each person around him and straightened his tuxedo jacket, forcing a smile he hoped appeared genuine. People drifted away as he thanked them for their concern. Honestly, Marshall wasn't sure how much longer he was going to last, and he still had to put in an appearance at the after-performance reception. Taking a deep breath, he called on the last of his reserves of energy, put on a smile, and walked through the backstage areas and out through the auditorium to the reception in the lobby of the building. A few people applauded politely when he entered, and then he joined the fray and spent the next hour talking to people and shaking hands. He got many compliments and thanked each person.
"Did you enjoy the performance?"
he asked for what seemed like the millionth time.
"It was lovely and had such energy,"
the late middle-aged woman answered with a smile, just like the dozens of others he had seen that evening. Not that he expected anyone to tell him otherwise. If they hadn't liked it, they'd still smile and then talk to their friends or other patrons when he wasn't around to hear.
"It's about time we had some of that here. My husband and I have had season tickets for years, but after this year, we might give them up. We want to support the arts and enjoy coming, but lately, Reggie sometimes falls asleep."
She colored.
"He didn't tonight, though,"
she added hastily before turning to look around.
"Reggie!"
she snapped, more loudly than was necessary. Her husband disengaged from the couple he had been talking to and walked over.
"This is Maestro Harrington, the conductor. I was just saying how much we enjoyed the evening."
"Best we've had in a while,"
Reggie said as he shook hands with Marshall.
"I'm glad to hear it,"
Marshall said. Reggie moved closer.
"Do you know who picks the stuff they play?"
"Usually the conductor also acts as music director and chooses the program. It's generally given final approval by the board, but the programs I'm seeing were probably developed by committee."
Marshall felt they had little cohesiveness, and the ones he'd seen appeared to have been developed with a little something for everyone, but nothing that worked together. So either the person developing the programs was a schizophrenic drunk, or it was the result of an inept committee. Neither choice was particularly comforting.
"You didn't pick this program, did you?"
Reggie asked.
"No. I was given the pieces to conduct and tried to make the best of them."
Marshall smiled and stopped short of saying anything derogatory. He didn't know who might be listening or what would get passed on to whom.
"They're good pieces."
He let the rest of the thought trail off. That would only lead to a discussion of the disjointed program, and he didn't need to go there. Not with members of the board heading across the room with their eyes on him. His heart beat a little faster. They seemed pleased and complimented him on the performance. Marshall could have sworn he'd had other jobs sewn up, but he'd been disappointed up to this point.
"Great program tonight,"
Eleanor Beard, the head of the board, said, and Marshall knew it had been she who'd most likely put the program together, or had at least exerted her influence to get